It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hey, folks, it's Mike the Ref here, and we're at the Steele Heights Community Hall with RCW Summer Breakout Tour Edmonton Stop. I'm joined by a couple buddies of mine here. Of course, the wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton.
Always a pleasure.
Well, I'd reserve that.
I have to come up with new ones.
Well, no, I just have to reserve that on a night like tonight.
Yes.
And a special guest, due to the fact that I wasn't really involved in this card personally. Billy Bob has agreed to join us here for the show.
Pleasure.
Now, there were 7 great matches on this card. I'm taking words out of Brian here, but
yes.
I'm going to go right off the beginning here. And just to let everybody know, I was released to my duties as RCW commissioner to start the show off. Minestro has taken over the duties as full-time commissioner. Good on Minestro for getting the position. He's got a lot of work ahead of him, as you will find out during this cast. And Godspeed. And folks, I got one comment on this show that I'm going to get to later on that, trust me, folks, you're not going to want to miss this one. But let's get to the matches first here. Right off the bat, we had a United Junior Heavyweight title match with Scott Justice taking on the champion, Tornado Tony Kazina. Now, from what I saw, this was an absolute barn burner of a match between these two, with Kazina coming out on top. Brian, your thoughts on the match?
Oh, this was a great match between a veteran and a young up-and-coming star in Scott Justice. My God, these guys were going back and forth, move for move. In the end, Tony got Scott in a submission hold, and Scott had no other way but to tap out. So Tony keeps his belt, which this match I thought was a great opening contest to get the crowd going tonight.
Billy Bob?
Yeah, same thing. It's a great opening match to start the show. Got the crowd into it. Tony got the hold on him, and Scott tapped out. Great match.
Absolutely. It looked like, what was it, sort of a reverse Boston Crab was the setup for it there. So, sorry, we're getting partially eaten alive by bugs here. So we're going to, if we speed through this, there might be a reason why here. Going on next is a 6-man tag team match with the team of Garrison Creed, Jacob Creed of CWE, teaming up with the Barricade, taking on the team known as the Center of the Universe, Zach Mercury, the Great Ali, formerly known as Tiger Ali, and the Irish Hooligan, Dan O'Burns. Now, the cohesive chemistry of the team of the Center of the Universe ends up getting them the victory with essentially a heart attack, except with a big boot from Mercury, with Ali holding, I believe it was Creed in the, Garrison Creed, there's Garrison, two of them, in the prone position there off the atomic drop. So, Billy Bob, what's your thoughts on this match here?
For the hooligans, the hooligan using his weapon on him.
I sort of missed that part here.
Garrison Creed in the back of the legs, which set up the move to get the pinfall.
With that,
while the ref was distracted
with that lovely stick that Dano gets to walk around with here.
But otherwise, it was a great match for the 6 of them. Like, except for the hooligan using the weapon, I think it was a great match.
Brian?
Oh, this is a great match overall. 6 great guys going at it. I love seeing JP Creed and Garrison Creed. Great to see them out here. They did a great job teaming with Barricade, but in the end, they fell short to Mercury, Burns, and Ali, which was a fantastic match. Great for them. So who knows what's up for this trio of people here.
Absolutely, and I hope we get a chance to see a team like Garrison Creed and Jacob Creed come out, whether it's in singles or in a tag team competition, once again.
Yes.
Jacob keeps improving every time he's out in the ring and just proving the kind of talent that there is all across Western Canada. Now, going from a ton of talent to somebody that, let's face it, we know doesn't have a lot of talent. As commissioner, I did everything in my power to eliminate this match, but unfortunately, Steven Styles had the RCW head office under his pinky finger and forced this match to happen. Thaddeus Archer versus Ugg. Now, hands up, anybody that actually thought that Thaddeus was going to win this match. I don't see any hands up here. I know this is a podcast, folks. Relax. But who do we see at the end of this match after Ugg has been absolutely trouncing Archer all over the place? Man, I'm starting to stutter my words. But Vince Austin.
What the hell?
And I managed to get a few delirious words in with him after. Apparently, he's now known as the Strangler. He came out with a coat hook and had it wrapped around Ugg's throat with the referee distracted. And ends up getting the one. Thaddeus Archer got the 1-2-3 over Ugg.
Holy crap, what the hell happened? I think hell just froze over tonight. I don't think anybody expected that, and especially to see the Strangler, Austin. Whoever would have thought we'd see him back in RCW? Last time we saw him, he was getting carried, or he left it. Who knows?
He left in a big huff at the 14th anniversary show.
Exactly.
The 13th anniversary show.
We haven't seen him in almost a year. And wow, what crazy.
Billy Bob?
Yeah, where did... Archer said that he had a... had a surprise. I didn't know it was going to be this big of a surprise, having Austin show up.
Absolutely, and I wonder what Austin's going to be doing and how stable he is, because he doesn't look very stable right now. No. This is a big mess for Commissioner Minestro to settle down here. But then going from there, we had a tag team matchup. More fans going by the podcast, so. We had a tag team match of Cameron Stevens and Kurt Simmons taking on the CWE team, I guess would be the best way to put it, of Tasty Travis Cole and Kados. Now, Cole has adopted a rather unique gimmick over the last year or so here since he's left being the top prospect in RCW. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for him as the team of Stevens and Simmons ended up pulling out the victory. I'll be honest, guys, after the Austin incident, I was going to track down Vince. So, your guys' thoughts on the match, because I didn't get a chance to see it. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought it was a great match here. We had the Kados and Travis Cole teaming up. They're a great team, but in the end, they couldn't get the job done. But Cameron Stevens and Kurt Simmons, they look like a great team. I think they should dub themselves the Monsters of Rock, because, my God, they were all over the ring and with great teaming with these guys. I love this team. I'd love to see more of them. Hopefully a title shot in line for them in the future.
Billy Bob?
I think if Travis Cole would wrestle instead of his fooling around, I think he'd be a better wrestler than what he does in the ring. But Cameron and his partner, 1-2-3, give him victory up. I enjoyed them.
All right, going on from there, we had the return of the first nascent sensation. My God, if there's one thing that'll put a smile on my face, it's seeing Wavell Starr.
God.
He is one of the guys I enjoy so much seeing in the ring.
Yes.
And this was an open challenge by Big Jess Youngblood, one half of Team Hashtag Top Talent. Wavell did a fantastic job in this match. Both these guys, I've sung the praises of Big Jess so much for everything that he's done. And no matter what kind of mood you're in, watching a Big Jess Wavell Starr match will put you in a good mood.
Oh my God, yes.
If you are a wrestling fan.
Yes.
In the end, Wavell gets the victory. And who knows? I hope he's back for more of a run than what his previous been at, just one and done kind of deals here. I hope he's back for a lot more. Billy Bob, your thoughts on the match?
I enjoyed it. Both guys were excellent, and having Wavell Starr back, it was nice seeing him. He, excellent job. Big Jess and him put on a great show. Nice seeing Wavell win the match. Hopefully we get to see him again.
Brian?
Oh, I thought this was a great match between two big guys going at it. I love seeing watch Big Jess, but just to see Wavell Starr, my God, he is so. Every time we see him, he's so much better in that. And the ending was just great, because he got Big Jess tied up in a tree of woe. took the ref and had him look check out something on the turnbuckle.
It was a fan in the crowd.
Yes. And then Wavell goes back and gives a shot to the young bloods and, well, picks up the 1-2-3, which I thought was a genius move. The ref never seen it.
Well, it was a Samoan drop that did get him the victory in the end there. So,
but still, it was a great setup to get the win.
Absolutely. And like I said, when you have those two guys in the ring, you have to enjoy it. There's no doubt. Okay, the next match we're going to skip. We're going to get to that at the end here, folks, because I don't want to ruin a good show by bringing up a bad segment here. So we're going to go straight to the main event. And this was for the British Commonwealth Championship. Now, this got set up earlier in the day. I guess it was my last act of being commissioner here in RCW. Knight came up to me with a chair and a proposition. He said, give me a title match against Strife or you're going to eat this chair. Now, I have a very good diet, but I don't have that good of a diet. So I forgave and I sanctioned this match. And I am so glad that I did.
Yes.
This match, two guys that absolutely went absolutely crazy for each other in the ring, just back and forth. So many moves. You got Knight jumping off the top of the wall again.
Yeah.
But instead of actually splashing on, he ate a super kick.
Yes.
That was crazy to see. Now, in the end, it ended up being a super pedigree from the second rope from Strife onto Knight for the victory. Now, what are your guys' thoughts on the match here? Because this was a hell of a main event. I love the fact that I booked a good main event for this card. Brian?
Oh, this great match to see Knight and Strife. My God, they match up so well together. And then you have Thaddeus in Knight's corner, and Knight is just more vicious now than ever. And to see what these guys were doing, they were all over the building using chairs and whatnot. And Knight, like you said, jumping off a balcony, an edge of the wall, getting super kicked in midair. Oh my God, this is so, it was incredible to see. What a great main event that you booked, Mike. Loved it. Thank you very, very much.
At least I'm glad I did something right. Billy Bob?
Yeah, excellent match you put together. Having Big Bird there at ringside for Knight.
Oh my God, yes. Thaddeus in his yellow suit.
That was going to be my highlight of the night because he looked like a highlighter.
Yeah.
But
glow in the dark highlighter.
The thought of the match?
It was a great match, both back and forth. Seeing Knight on top of that corner of the wall there, coming down and getting super kicked. But it was an excellent match. Both guys kicking each other almost to death. But with Strife coming out with the victory, it was an excellent match.
Absolutely, and it was a great way to end the night off with a hell of a match to finish off. First night to the Minestra regime here. If that was the entire card, folks, I would have not minded. No. Let's get to the good part here, this last match I have to talk about. You got the RCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship. You got Heavy Metal taking on Virgil. I cannot believe I'm spitting those words out of my mouth. I am going to say this right now. Squig, you're an idiot. I'm just going to throw that out there, and we'll just leave that out there.
Yes.
But I got to admit, this wasn't a half bad match.
No.
They did make a false count anywhere, or at least the hardcore rules, essentially.
That's what I thought it was, but because we didn't really hear if it was or not.
Metal's not with the company, so you can't really make them follow company rules.
I guess
the way to put it. In the end, it ends up being a count-out victory for Heavy Metal over Virgil. Now, before we get to anything after the match here, and this is the part that I was talking about earlier, let's talk about the match first, okay?
Yes.
Your thoughts?
I thought it was a great match overall. It was great to see Virgil. He looks fantastic for how old he is. And my God, going against Metal, he gave Metal a good run for his money. But then, though, Metal outsmarted him. Virgil got counted out. He retains the title. It was great to see.
Billy Bob?
Yeah, excellent match. Both South Virgil
boys,
and...
Strangler boys.
We're going to have to be quick because I think Vince is going to come over and choke me here. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Billy Bob.
Great match, both Metal and Virgil. Great match. Both of them put on a good show. And Metal got the count out, win the match.
And technically, if you go by the old rules, he is the million-dollar champion, but I don't think Virgil was putting that belt on the line anytime soon.
No.
All right, well, I guess we got... You know what? We're going to get to that point, but we're going to go with the highlights of the night right now and the surprise of the night, and then we'll get to this last little part here. Billy Bob, let you go first.
My match of the night was Knight and Strife. Excellent match for both of them. Both kicking and all that. I enjoyed it.
Brian?
My match of the night is Tony Kazin and Scott Justice for the Unified Canadian Junior Heavyweight title. This was a great way to start the show. These guys know how to perform. It was the veteran going against a young star, and the veteran picked up the win tonight, but Justice gave him one hell of a good fight. But in the end, no, Justice tapped out. Kazina retains his title. It was great to see Tony, as always. I love watching that guy. He's always so much better every time we see him.
And I'm going to give two highlights of the night. I've already given one already, and that's the highlighter of the night, which is Thaddeus Archer in that bright yellow suit. Looks like a highlighter. And then from there, I'm going to give it to Big Jess and Wavell Starr.
Yes.
Those two, I would love to watch a best 101 with them.
Oh, God,
If you could keep everything to the ring with Big Jess Youngblood, I would absolutely love it. And Wavell Starr, well, we've seen him here long before. We've seen him here now. We see him in HIW. He is the First Nation sensation for a reason. Okay. We're going to get into this. I'm going to let these guys give their thoughts on this. And then I have a bit of a statement I'm going to make myself here. I don't want to make these guys have to sit through this while getting eaten with bugs. So, at the conclusion of the heavyweight title match, before the main event, Heavy Metal gets on the mic. And he has demanded that Squig come out. And it's time for him to make his life a living hell. Okay, fair enough. I could see where Metal's coming from here. Sorry, fly flew in my mouth there. Squig comes out, and Metal says he has everything. He's faced every challenge possible. And the only thing that he hasn't got is the company, RCW. So he's challenged Squig, Steven Styles, to a two-on-two matchup with... Team Top Talent, Jesse Youngblood and Heavy Metal versus Steven Styles and a partner of his choosing. Now, this is, how do I put this? Steve was being smart for once. He said, no, why would I do that? Seriously, it was like, it didn't make any sense. And it's like when Metal stole the belt right at the beginning. Everybody says possession's 9/10 of the law. Yeah, the other 10th is theft. Call the damn cops and get them arrested. But anyway... So he's saying no, which, you know, I'm just sitting back as a fan, and I'm like, okay, for once, Steve is making sense. Next thing I know, Big Jess is flying by me with Steven's kid, Matthew, and threw him into the ring, and Metal set him up in a pile driver position, threatening if you do not give him this match, he will pile drive Steven's kid, Matthew. Now... Steven's getting incensed. Minestro's getting incensed. Essentially, they gave the match to him. And Minestro added it into a steel cage War Games match. So it could be a handicap match, then a two-on-two. This is scheduled for the Rise of Legends tour in October. But the part that got me, folks, was immediately following that. They granted the match. Heavy Metal gave Matthew Waschuk a pile driver anyway, regardless. He laid there motionless. The crowd was silent. Kids were crying. Parents were upset, ready to riot almost.
Almost.
Pretty close. It was a very disgusting sight. I'm already getting fired up just talking about it right now. I'm going to let you guys give your thoughts, and then I'll take a quick little break, and I'm going to come back with my entire thing about this. But, Billy Bob, your thoughts?
Well, for Metal asking for this asking for the match, and Steven saying no for a while, and then all of a sudden they gave in to him. Okay, yeah, it's a good match for October setting up, but for what happened after, no, I didn't like that. It's not why use a kid to get your to set the message. You don't do that,
Brian.
I did not like it. I thought it was disgusting. I it was great the way to kind of a good way set up, but did not have to end with a pile driver. If they would have said, okay, we got the match, let out, just dropped them and, you know, tossed them out the rings and good and left, it would have been great. But what they did was disgusting. I don't know how this company is going to survive. I think there's going to be a lot of fans not going to return to watch this show now because of this incident. Who knows? But if people do come, I think it's going to be a great storyline how they lead into it for the next 3 months till October. So you don't know what's going to happen, but I just didn't thought it was horrible the way they did it. I don't know how old Matthew was, but I mean, he's probably 7-8 years old. I didn't think that was right. If they would have used maybe a teenager or something, about 14-15, it would have been a lot better, because, you know, maybe a bigger kid or that, nobody would have really been complaining. But this is horrible.
All right, well, I'm going to give my thoughts here in just 1 second, but I want to thank Billy Bob for joining me here on this show.
Thank you for having me, and keep coming out to independent wrestling. It's excellent.
Well, we'll get to the next shows here, especially next weekend's PWA Night of Champions show for the Northgate Lions Senior Center. But we'll talk about that next week when it comes up here. I got a feeling I got more than one show about this little incident here. But, Brian, I want to thank you for joining me as well.
Always a pleasure, and I can't wait to do this next Saturday.
And don't forget, folks, check out facebook.com/AlbertaWrestlingPhotos for all the photos that Brian has been taking from even last night's WWE show as well as tonight's RCW show. We will have them online. I don't know if Brian got a picture of the alleged incident there, but I think he might have been in shock. But we'll see what we'll see what comes up here.
Yes.
But stay tuned, folks, because trust me, you ain't going to want to miss this. All right, folks, Mike the Ref here, back at Edmonton SPN World Headquarters here. I wanted to take a little bit of time, collect my thoughts, try to make a little sense of what happened here. Want to thank once again Billy Bob and the Wrestling Mind, Brian Hamilton, for helping me out with this quick call show. Before I begin, there's a couple things I have to get cleared up before I continue on and talk about what happened in this incident and why it upset me so much. First of all, I'm going to have to pull back the curtain a little bit on this one, but the firing that I had earlier tonight, that actually was me asking for my release from any on-camera position with RCW. I've had to cut back in the amount of work that I do, and that is also including attending shows due to the YouTube ad boycott and the lack of a revenue stream able to come in at a sufficient pace for me. I've had to readjust what I'm doing in terms of workload. So that included any on-camera appearances. And a lot of the stuff that I do, including the Breakout TV and the CWC Evolution that I do, is done remotely, and it's done from Edmonton SPN headquarters, so I can do that without actually being at the physical facility. So I asked to be written off, and I do sincerely hope that Minestro does a good job in the commissioner's role going forward here. I could see it's not going to be an easy job for him based on what you saw earlier tonight. Now, the other thing I want to bring up, and I want to make this poignantly clear, folks, what happened tonight has nothing to do with the locker room of RCW in terms of the talent of the wrestlers in RCW, because you got guys there that are uber talented on that roster. And in terms of their athletic ability and what they can do in the ring, I would encourage you in spades to go see them in a open atmosphere of wrestling where they are, where they get a chance to explore their abilities and show them off for you.
You got young guys like Cameron Stevens, Tiger Ali. You got veterans like Strife, Scott Justice, The Universe, Zach Mercury. All great workers. Like, some of the guys on this roster just astound me at how good they are in the ring. So I do encourage you to go out and see them work and ply their trade. This specifically has to do with this incident and this booking of this incident. All right, folks. Got to find some way to creatively get into this. And I just don't want to start making it sound like I'm throwing a bunch of insults out about an incident like this, even though as a fan, that would be your first reaction. For me, I want to break this down and I want to explain why I am so upset about this incident. Now, you heard earlier, just before we took the break here, Heavy Metal demanded a match with Steven Styles for control of the company. Similarly to what happened with Bryce the Slammer Silva and Steven Styles earlier this year in January. Steven this time did say no. Big Jess came out, put little Matthew in the ring, set up for this pile driver, and threatened to hit him with a pile driver if he didn't get his way and get this tag team match for control of the company. Match was made, and the added stipulation was War Games. And then Metal decides to execute the pile driver move anyway, regardless. Now, before I get into the why, I'm going to talk about the what. I'm going to say this. Heavy Metal is one of the most gifted wrestlers, well, one of the most talented wrestlers that you will see in a ring. And from the angle I saw, and I'm very confident in this, he did the move about as safely as you can to somebody that size and make it look realistic. Matthew's head, I would have to say, is a good 4 or 5 inches above the ground. Clearly, there was not going to be any trauma there. Matthew sold it like a son of a you-know-what. He was great. I actually talked to him after the show, and he was actually really happy at the reaction he got from the fans. He thought there was a lot of shock. He saw the tears, and he's like, wow, I did that? It's a wrestling bug. I get it. You got the reaction you wanted in his eyes. Now, when I saw this incident here myself, I took a second, saw the reaction of the crowd. First thing I see is little kids crying. Okay, they don't know any better. You go up, you console them, you just let them know, okay, he's okay, they're taking care of him. Kids had a tendency to believe me for some reason, so take care of them. Then I got the parents outside that are not only upset, but they're also angry about who would allow this kind of thing to go on in a wrestling show. Because let's face it, these parents, they know it's a work. They know it's fake. So who would actually allow a situation like this to occur? You got a kid who obviously is not licensed to be in the ring. I understand he's been in the ring. He's taken bumps. I've seen him take bumps in practice. Like when before the doors open and whatnot, he's in the ring. He's flopping around. I've seen him take bumps in the ring before, and I know the kid can handle it, but that impression of having him in the ring and have that happen is just way too much for somebody to stomach who isn't very familiar with the business. One thing I will say with confidence is the fact that he is not a licensed wrestler, because let's face it, no preteen is going to be licensed as a wrestler or somebody in that position. Now, the second part of this is the move itself. One rebuttal I heard, because I did talk to a few of the wrestlers after the show, because everybody saw that I was visibly upset about this situation. And a lot of people saw the post that I put on Facebook. They said, well, what's the difference between the super kicks that the Young Bucks did on a 9-year-old girl? Or if you want to hit it hometown flavor. What happened with young Cody in MPW last September when he got clotheslined with a kendo stick? Let me just simply say that a clothesline, a kick, while those can be dangerous, the level of relative safety on those moves is a lot higher. It's a lot safer for those moves than the element of difficulty in a pile driver. As much as I give Heavy Metal credit for what he does in the ring and how safe this actually was, there is a very high potential for this to go wrong. And that's the part that I worry about more than anything. I have faith that they can do the move properly, but as much as people have faith, I have faith to win the lottery every week. Lord knows it ain't going to happen. So why take that chance when you don't need to? And on top of that, the pile driver is a move that so many federations have banned. Like WWE, there's only two people that are allowed to do it, and neither one of them technically is active right now because one's in an election and one just lost to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and hasn't been seen since after he left his gloves in the ring. Many different federations have even played up the fact that they don't allow the pile driver because of what has happened. Let's face it, Stone Cold Steve Austin dropped on his head by Owen Hart. Just a slight little mistake by one of the most careful workers in the business in Owen Hart caused a temporary paralysis for a time. Now, the super kicks, I haven't seen the video. I've heard of it. I'm sure the Bucks took the utmost care of the person in the ring. As I'm saying, Metal has as well. And I know for a fact I was at the time where Cody got hit with that kendo stick. He basically ran down and avoided the kendo stick as he didn't get hit with it. It was all him falling down on it. Those two moves there, they were in a control situation where very little can go wrong. With a pile driver, there is so much more that can go wrong in that situation. I have full faith, once again, like I said, in Heavy Metal, but there just is that factor in there. Now, okay, you know what? I can understand trying to get a big pop or something like this leading into a big show. Now, I understand Rise of Legends is essentially their SummerSlam, if you want to consider the anniversary show, the WrestleMania of RCW. But this is June 17th. That's in October. You're trying to tell me now that you're supposed to find a way to keep the heat up between Metal and Styles for that long with this many shows involved? I'd like to see him try, but if you are going to pull something off like this, first of all, find somebody that is a little more appropriate to do this. But if you're going to run this angle, which I understand that they want to run it and whatnot, but do it a little bit closer to the match that you're actually going to do. Unless you're selling tickets that night to the October show, which you're not, usually the tickets go on sale for a month, maybe two in advance, then what's the point? You're losing the momentum of a situation like this by not having tickets available already for that show coming up because everybody wants to see what you're going to do. But now you have 3 full months worth of shows in between that you have to fill with something that keeps Steven Styles that hot against Metal. To which, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not a parent. I am the closest thing to a definition of a wrestling nerd in every stereotype, outside of the fact that I don't live in my mother's basement, that you can get right now. But I will say this. If it was my kid that this happened to, and I ran the promotion, this show would stop Metal would have had the cops called on him. And every time I see Metal, I would want to find every which way to beat his blankety blank 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 all over God's green earth, regardless of sanction or whatever from a commissioner or whatever authority figure they throw ahead of him. I wouldn't care what was said. I'd be wanting to kick the crap out of this guy every chance I see him, no matter what. No rules, no nothing, no trying decency. I'd be out there just beating the crap out of him nonstop. Something a little more drastic than what's going to happen here, because let's face it, you got to have Metal around, you got to have Styles around. Styles right now should be solely focused on destroying Metal at all costs, and Metal has got to find a way to just cheek away the whole time. But it has to be taken to another level. It has to be taken to that umpteenth level instead of where they think they might have it. I don't think they can maintain that momentum for 3 months. I don't think anybody can. Which makes a situation like this, I'm not going to say pointless, but not as effective as it truly could be. Trying to pull something like this tonight, and then to have a match after that. That's the other thing that got me here. You just had a kid boarded out on a table, and you're telling your ring announcer to keep the show going because you got one more match. Let's face it, folks. If this was a quote-unquote a real-life situation here, are you running that last match? This is not the WWE where you have tapings and you have contracts and whatnot. This is an indie promotion here, and you just had a kid pile-driven. You take the kid out, you end the show. That's it. So, I don't know. They expected the crowd to get into a main event like that. You had some that tried to get involved with it, but let's face it. That crowd died at that point. Strife and Knight did everything they could to keep things going. And personally, watching X, Y, and Z moves in the match, it actually worked out really well with those guys. But it could have been a lot better if the order of the booking went right there. So, and the last thing I want to bring up is essentially when we're dealing with the safety factor here, you just come off a situation where in the Edmonton mixed martial arts community and the fighting community, you have a MMA fighter, Tim Haig, who has appeared at various PWA shows. So a lot of the fans do have a little bit of recollection as to who he is. He is currently in critical condition following a fight with former Edmonton Eskimo Adam Braidwood. Preliminary reports were false that he actually passed away. Last I heard, he was in critical condition. I haven't been able to look at the update as of 1 a.m. on the 18th here. But you have such a sensitive subject like that in the community. And then you have a kid who is getting boarded off. And I understand suspension of belief right now, but that gets a little touchy at this point. If you got a wrestler that just passed away, for example, that a lot of people knew in the area, would you run an angle now that somebody so sensitive would get hauled out? Because let's face it, folks, a kid is not going to take the same amount of punishment as a grown adult. Throwing that pile driver on Steven Styles rather than Matthew Styles, for lack of a better name, that's going to be a hell of a difference. So I've been at this for over 15 minutes here, folks, so I don't want to harp on it too long. But the long and the short is keep the kids out of the ring. If you're going to do something like this, I pray that you don't use somebody like that. But even if you are, make sure there's going to be a decent payoff off of it. And to me, it just doesn't make sense. But I'm going to wrap this up here, folks, because, yeah, like I said, it's been over 15 minutes here. I've been talking about this. And in real time, it's taken me about an hour and a half to get these 15 minutes put together. So our next quick call show is going to be coming from the Northgate Lions Senior Center with PWA Night of Champions. We got a hell of a card set up there, and we're going to have a hell of a roster here going through it. I am going to have a very special edition of the Blown Call Show coming up this week. You're going to see why it's special when it comes to our YouTube channel. Make sure you check out youtube.com/C/Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, because I might have a little bit of a surprise on there for some of you guys. Once again, I want to thank the Wrestling Mind Brian Hamilton and the Eskimo Fanatic Billy Bob for joining me here on this show. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Make sure you're out there supporting good independent wrestling. And this is Mike the Ref saying, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls from the Steel Heights Community Center with Real Canadian Wrestling Summer Breakout Tour Edmonton Stop here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.